Good evening. You are tuned to this week's episode of The Score programme here on Highland Radio. It is our midweek sports show where we take a closer look at the big stories happening across the Northwest and beyond. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, here until 8 o'clock. So let's take a look at what is coming up on the programme tonight. We'll be hearing from American football coach Paul O'Donnell ahead of a massive weekend for his Northwest Vipers side. Danny Duffy headlines Fight Night at the Valley 2 on Saturday. We'll get his thoughts on that event. But we are going to start tonight with the big news in the soccer world here in Donegal recently. And that is the news of a potential takeover at Finn Harps by Filipino businessman and former footballer Freddy Gonzalez, who says he wants to take Finn Harps to the top of Irish football and into European competitions. The potential investor at Finn Park has ambitions of building a state-of-the-art training centre akin to the best clubs in Europe. A special meeting will take place on Sunday, July 5th, for members to vote upon this takeover, but there is no doubt Gonzalez is full of ambition in his bid to gain ownership of the Balbuffet club. Highland Radio's Chris Ashmore has been speaking to Gonzalez ahead of this Sunday's meeting, and he's been highlighting some of the initial plans he would have if he came in.
Now, Alfredo Fernando Raizon Gonzalez, otherwise known as Freddy, delighted that you've joined us on Highland Radio, and we can call you Freddy.
Oh yeah, everybody calls me Freddy. Right, nobody Freddy. Calls me Alfredo. Not even my mom called me Alfredo, to be fair.
So tell me, when was the first time in your life that you heard the name Finn Harps?
Well, I would say in passing back in the day with Paddy Bonner, because so I was born and raised in the Philippines, but Spanish family. And so heavily into football. So I was born into a fanatical football family, and I got, my grandfather was heavy into Real Madrid, into Spain, obviously, but he exposed me to a lot of different kinds of football when I was young. So, you know, we'd watch all games, Ireland, England, Spain, France, World Cups, Euro Cups, friendlies, all those kind of things. So back in the day in the Philippines, you couldn't really get the matches on local TV. So we had this advantage where we tapped into the U.S. We used to have American bases in the Philippines, and they had this thing called the Far East Network. FEN was what it was, and you could access it if you had a satellite. So, and they just used to show everything. So all the football matches would be there. So yeah, I mean, that was my first experience in passing, having heard of Finn Harps. And in recent times, it was through Tom Markham, because when I left the Philippine Football Federation in June 2025, you know, my wife was telling me, she's like, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to go back into the business. You're going to start another business. Why don't you just do what you've always wanted to do, which is to own a football club in Europe? And so by chance, one of the CEOs of our companies was in the same business network as Tom. And Tom and him had been communicating for a little bit. So he connected me with Tom, and I gave Tom, like, I had a very specific criteria of what I was looking for. And, you know, none of them really hit. There was always something a little bit off about the different clubs that, you know, were looking for investment. And around December, January, I think we kind of hit an impasse where I was like, Tom, I don't think right now there's anything that really fits. You know, just let me know if you find something in the future. And then I think it was around January or when he brought Finn Harps to my attention. And then doing my research and going through the process with Tom and just doing the background checks and all of that. And then finally I visited, I was able to come and visit and really liked what I saw. You know, Donegal County was amazing. Everybody was extremely friendly, very welcoming. I felt, you know, very welcomed by everybody. And the county itself is really beautiful. I don't mind the weather because I'm used to heavy rain here in the Philippines. And, you know, I went to high school and college here in the US, in the Northwest. So used to the rain and the cold, but, yeah, that's how I got to know Finn Harps, and, here we are.
Yeah. So people are wondering, you know, why Finn Harps? You've touched on it. There's all sorts of reasons, but of Irish clubs, long term, you really want to see Finn Harps getting into European football. Is that the ultimate place to make them one of the big boys in Ireland and to be playing regularly at that higher level?
Yes, definitely, for both the men's and women's first teams. And the youth teams as well. It's really to get to that point where we're up there in Ireland. We're always competing for the title and for European spots. And when we get to Europe, it's not just to be in Europe and then, you know, go through the qualifiers and then that's it and be happy there. It's about actually getting into the tournaments and actually competing against, you know, all these clubs, whether it's in the Champions League, Europa League, Conference League, wherever we end up. It's about getting to that point where the expectations and standards of Finn Harps are, we want to win the league. We want to be in Europe and compete. So that's really my goal and my vision for the club.
Yeah. So it's a long-term commitment. Your own background, just tell us a little bit about the family business, and there's a dynasty there. Away from football, you were a professional player. You were involved with the Philippine Football Federation. What's the business background?
My family owns and operates, my main family, my wife and I, we have our own businesses that we've been handling for over 20 years, which is mostly retail and distribution, but we also do we have some food businesses as well, restaurants. We've invested heavily in a number of startups in the Philippines and in the US. But the main family side is we operate container terminals around the world. And so I was part of that business in the early 2000s when I came back from college. And but I had left early because I got the opportunity to play professionally in Asia and became the first Philippine born and bred footballer to actually take that step. And so I had to cut my time in the main family business short. But while I was playing, my wife and I had made moves to start our own businesses. And so we've been doing that since. And, you know, the family has been very supportive of me playing, and they're extremely supportive now. The main family business is not just in container terminals, but it's also invested in infrastructure, in utilities, water, oil, gas, hotels, casinos, all that kind of stuff. It's very diversified. So,
and the time scale, like how have you set even at this stage as to, you know, how quickly can Harps rise up that ladder and get themselves into a position that they could push for European football?
Well, you know, we know this is not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. But the initial moves we're going to need to make sure that we get the foundation right. We get the proper staffing in place. We get infrastructure in place, because that's, you know, really what Finn Harps needs right now. There's not a lot of full-time staff, so it's about making sure all the staff are full-time, we get the best staff possible to be able to execute the vision, where we're able to deliver the stadium in a timely manner. However, with the stadium, you know, construction, it's going to take, you know, between a year to a year and a half. So while that is happening, we still have to be to put in some time and effort into making sure Finn Park is up to snuff. And in order, because in order to attract better players, better staff, you have to make sure your facilities are top class. And so setting that foundation, proper staff, proper facilities is really the goal. And that success will come in. But, you know, I'm a very competitive person. So my targets are really by 2027, the 2027 season, we're pushing for promotion that season. So hopefully to be in the Premier Division by the 2028 season when the new stadium is up and running. Those are the goals and the plans. But as we know, football, if you've been watching the World Cup or football over the last 20 years, sometimes, you know, you get these little surprises. But, you know, we're not going to waver. We're going to make sure that everything is in place so that we can have the staff be able to do their jobs properly and succeed. And same thing with the players.
And given your own commitments elsewhere, how much time will you have to be? I mean, you're not going to be there all the time for Finn Harps, but are we going to see you regularly in the stand, or is there going to be a presence? You're going to have to for other commitments.
Well, actually, this is what I am going to be doing full time. So I'm going to be around quite a bit during the season. I'll be in and out a lot of times just because, you know, I'll have to do some things back in Manila. But most of the season, I hope to spend in Ireland.
And will you have any input into the recruitment of players as strengthened and boosted?
Yes, I will. But however, I'm not going to be one of these owners that is going to be micromanaging everybody. It's, you know, people are going to be hired because they have a certain level of expertise, be allowed to do their jobs, and they're the experts. And so I will give them the opportunity and the leeway to perform their jobs. I'm not going to be one of those owners that's like breathing down the neck of the coach, telling the coach who players to select, telling the coach who players to play and who to sign. In the end, it has to fit. The players that are signed have to fit the philosophy, the game model of the club. And so they're going to have not necessarily a free rein to just buy any player, because, you know, that brings in a lot of difficulties to the club sometimes. So, you know, player selection is going to be essentially the wisdom of the group. And we're not going to leave it into the hands of one person, because we don't want to cripple the club by signing players that, you know, are too expensive or unrealistic salary-wise, and then all of a sudden they don't perform on the pitch. So it's about getting the coach and the staff, the sports director, and everybody to be on the same page when selecting players and bringing in players. Big focus, obviously, is the academy. So that's one of the main things that really attracted me to Finn Harps. And so we're going to build up the academy to the point where we get that category one status. And we're going to continue to build and bring players up from the academy into the first team regularly. And so we want to build a proper training center at par with the likes of Ajax, Barcelona, these kind of clubs, Man City, that Ireland, not just Donegal County, what Ireland, the whole of Ireland, can be proud of, and that our players are of a certain standard where if you're a Finn Harps youth player, you know, clubs from around the region and around Ireland are a bit envious of you because of how the setup that you have and the opportunities that you'll be able to have.
So you certainly don't lack ambition. Now, for fans, for shareholders who are maybe listening into this, we've heard and read different things, but essentially a seven-figure sum over a number of years. So the stadium is definitely going to go ahead. You're going to essentially provide that sort of 20% or so, that shortfall that was there to matching funding to bring in the grants. And then what else? The club's debt, are you going to be taking that over as well?
Yeah. So that will be settled as well. Get the club on a clean slate. We're already looking into different areas in the county to acquire land in order to build a first-class training center, not just for the boys and girls academy, but also for the first team. So we want to be able to have a training center, training facility that houses all the teams. And so, and again, we're going to model it in such a way that it is at par with the best academies in Europe and around the world. But of course, with a very Irish Donegal County, based on the area and just the football we're going to be playing, the philosophy. And so that's one of the big things we're going to invest in and that we're going to build out, because that's really going to be the foundation of the club. You know, foreign players are great. Big signings are great, but we want to make the club sustainable for the future, not just, you know, throwing money at things. We want to be able to make sure that we have a surplus of talent, local talent coming in into the first team, and eventually some of those players might stay, some of those players might leave, so that will provide some income for the club as well.
And just on that point of sustainability, you know, people looking in might be wondering, this is a big cash injection into the club in the short term, but looking sort of more medium term, do you see a situation that the club will be self-sufficient, that it won't have to depend on constant further funding, that it'll have a big enough fan base, a big enough revenue base to be balancing the books, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a definite goal. And by having that new stadium and really building that out to accommodate as many fans as we can, and expanding that stadium as the support grows, will be huge. And then really working on the fan experience as well, and working on the lifetime value of each fan. So how much a fan is going to spend on food and beverage, how much a fan is going to spend on merchandise, tickets, season tickets, and all of that stuff. But the only way you can really do that and make that better and bring in fans is really to have top-class facilities and really make the fan experience at par with what they're seeing around the world and around Europe.
And your message to fans who, you know, maybe there's some fans out there who have been associated with the club for many years, that there's a community aspect to it. You are a complete outsider to them. This is a bit of a voyage into the unknown. What do you say to them, you know, if maybe they have some fears as to where the future of the club is going and they may not have an input anymore?
Well, part of my responsibility is to make the county of Donegal proud. And I take that very seriously. For me, one of the boxes that I wanted to tick was that it has to be a very community-oriented club. So the club is going to be very supportive of the community, really giving back to the community, trying to uplift the community. The current staff in FinHarps is a lot of, community members that really put in the time and effort to keep the club going. And so I understand what it means to the community, and having been to Donegal and Ballybuffet, I've seen it firsthand. And I just want everybody to know that I'm here for the long haul, long term. I am going to be putting a structure into place where hopefully, my daughters, my grandkids will be working at the club and will be involved in the club. But when I'm long gone, the club will keep going and going, and that structure that we put into place will make sure of that, that will make sure that if there's, any shortfalls in funding, that it will have that available, that the board will be able to keep going and hiring the right people. It's all about our philosophy, our football philosophy. So hiring coaches and staff have to be aligned with that. But yeah, I'm here for the long haul. I'm here to really dig my heels in and work. And I'm not just one of these owners that is looking to make a buck. All the money that's earned by the club is going to be reinvested into the club. I'm not here to make use it as a money-making thing. I'm not interested in multi-club ownership. I feel like those things are, it's very distracting. And if you have too many clubs you're working on, there's always going to be one that lags behind or one that's left out. And so the real focus is really to build out the vision that I have for the club, and which is aligned with right now everybody in the club. And so it's about continuing that, making the county proud, and really uplifting, helping uplift the community, and really making FinHarps games a weekend attraction for everybody in the county.
Now, I'm conscious that we're against the clock here at this stage. I just want to make sure that, whenever there's something like this of this magnitude, there'll be a bit of speculation and there'll be rumors and things. So from your point of view, in terms of the size of the investment, what can you say? We're talking about a seven-figure sum over a number of years. Can you be more specific as to what's on the table?
Well, I don't think I mean, that was put out there, but the commitment is not just it's not just going to be, it's whatever the club needs. It's whatever the club needs to get to the point where it can be self-sustaining and it can solely rely on itself without any extra funding. Of course, there are going to be this is football, so there are going to be year seasons that aren't good, maybe go through a bad run. The commitment is just to keep the club going, good years, bad years, and the commitment is really whatever the club needs in order to get to the point where we are in the Premier Division and we are always competing for the top spot in the Premier Division and European places. So pegging it at just seven figures over how many years is it's not what I'm about. So for me, it's really the first few years, the first 3 years, there's going to be a lot of investment in the club to get to the point where it's self-sustaining.
And finally, Freddie, if, as you say, football things don't always go according to plan, you're going to be controlling the club. But down the road, you could sell it on, or it could go back to a different format or back to the fans. So I suppose it's hard to predict too far ahead.
Well, right now I have no plans. I have no intentions to. This is something I've always wanted to do, and I hope that I mean, it's very morbid to say, but I hope that, my last days on this planet will be still being very active in FinHarps. So I have no intentions of going anywhere. I have no intentions of not seeing this through. I have no intentions of selling the club to somebody else. I've gotten to the point where, this is something that is like I look at like as my destiny. And like I said earlier, I hope that, my daughters at some point will follow me into the club, my grandkids, if any, and I don't know what else to say other than the fact that, the fans are going to get sick and tired of seeing me for the next how many decades.
Well, no doubt you hope that you'll be hearing the chants of.
I just hope they don't expect that we're gonna be signing players like Mbappe. It's
Well,
not realistic.
hopefully we might hear the chant of Freddie, Freddie, Freddie from Finn Park and the Donegal Community Stadium in the not too distant future. You're going to become a household name and somebody who people will recognize. And finally, you must be tremendously excited about all of this.
Yeah, I've been, since I've been back from Donegal, back in Manila, I've been very antsy because my wife's always like, "Hey, what's wrong with you? Why are you like so restless?" And so, and I'm like, "I just want to already get to work." I want to be like getting my, my heels, dig in my heels and like start doing things already with FinHarps. And unfortunately, the way of a football business is, the lawyers come in, and the lawyers are necessary, but sometimes they take the fun out of things. So yeah, I'm very antsy. I can't wait to get started. And we're getting there, and hopefully we get there really soon so we can really start making moves, getting the staff organized, and getting the stadium through.
That is potential investor at FinHarps, Freddie Gonzalez, in conversation with our own Chris Ashmore. So what we'll do now is we'll take a quick break, and afterwards we'll get some reaction to that interview with someone who is very much engraved in the history of FinHarps, former player and manager Anthony Gorman. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Score. So before the break, we heard from potential investor at FinHarps, Freddie Gonzalez. And in case you missed that interview, you can listen back to that interview over at HighlandRadio.com now. But we can get some reaction with someone who knows the club inside and out, former manager Anthony Gorman. Anthony, Harps are in action on the pitch tomorrow night, and we will get onto that later. But there is really only one place to start. We've now heard from the man himself, Freddie Gonzalez. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of his chat with Chris there, what are your initial thoughts on the potential takeover at Finn Park?
Well, I think it's very exciting, Mark. I mean, Freddie Gonzalez is coming in all guns blazing, really. Like he set out real big plans for Finn Harps, and obviously it all relies on being voted through by the members and everything. But I mean, it's like a lot of things, when people come in with takeover bids and plans, it's all about how it's going to affect the local club and the history of the club and all. But I think the situation that Finn Harps are in, and if you go back over the last 25, 30 years, we've been talking about a new stadium for Finn Harps, and with his investment, I think all the dreams and wishes of Finn Harps supporters could come true. In the very near future, with the investment and the plans that Freddie Gonzalez is going to bring to them.
And Freddie, he says his vision is to take Finn Harps to the top of Irish football and into Europe. From your experience of managing the club and being a player at the club, how ambitious is that? And maybe it's a fairly realistic long-term target for the club, is it?
I've often thought that, the League of Ireland and the with geographically where we're positioned up here in Donegal, and also like not just ourselves, but the likes of, Derry City, Sligo Rovers, the provincial clubs. Like I think a strong League of Ireland needs the big teams from them areas. You know, and Cork City, Waterford, you need them clubs if you're going to have a League of Ireland. Now, it's a wee bit restricted in the fact that we currently only have a 10-team division. But with the plans that he has and, you know, the way that he wants to develop the club, I think there's been a lot of talk about this happening in the league with other teams as well, Mark. So if there was more investment, more people like Freddie Gonzalez, it may lead to an extension of the Premier Division and from its current guise of 10 teams to maybe 12. So he's looking to compete at the top end. He's looking to qualify for Europe. But I mean, if you look at the Premier Division, the amount of big clubs that's there, and you know, you only have to look at the first division. I mean, you have Cork City down in the first division, but the big clubs that are vying for European positions year in, year out, you know, they've got a massive head start on Finn Harps. And you can have all the money in the world, but you must have structures. You must be able to build a club. You must be able to bring players through. I mean, we look at what's happening with Derry City at the minute. You know, they appear to have all the money in the world, but they just can't get right on the pitch. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration. I think, first of all, they have to put a strong structure in place. You know, you can't build a house without solid foundations, and I think that's where Finn Harps are going to have to start. They're in a decent position in terms of the academy because there's a lot of work been done there over the last maybe 10, 12 years. So they're quite strong in that regard. But to have like an academy centre, which will lead to, you know, bringing players through and into a full-time setup. That'll be the aim, and that'll be the dreams of a lot of the young players in the academy at the minute. And it is an exciting time.
Yeah, so if you were to break down a few of the bits and bobs of what Freddie's been saying, he's talking about investing in full-time staff, improving the infrastructure, building a new stadium, and eventually a state-of-the-art training centre. He's also set out a timeline of pushing for promotion next year and playing Premier Division football in the new stadium by 2028. So also one of the promises is, he was speaking to Chris there, one of his promises is to clear the club's debt and invest whatever the clubs need. So that alone would be a big thing to deliver, Anthony.
Well, that's a massive start, Mark. You know, you start off, you clear the debt, you're starting off with a clean slate. And as I said before, like, you know, we've been talking about this new stadium for 25, 30 years. And if he's hoping to be in the new stadium by this and also be in the Premier Division by the start of season 28, you're talking at an 18-month timeline here. So it's going to have to be voted through quickly. He's going to have to get the green light. And then his action plan will come into play, and you know it's going to be very quick. If Finn Harps can turn it around and get a team challenging to be in the Premier Division in season 27, and you know finish top of the league in season 27, well, you know that's a big ask because of where they currently are. But again, investment's key, and bringing in the right players and. You know, it's attracting the right players and getting people to buy into the dream project that Freddie Gonzalez is setting up.
And slightly more long term, he's spoken about buying land and potentially building a Category 1 academy and a training centre, saying he wants to develop players in a similar way to some of the biggest clubs in Europe. He certainly doesn't lack confidence to be very ambitious about this project.
Yeah, but I mean, we look at the biggest clubs in Europe, you know, and if we're talking the likes of Manchester United and Liverpool and teams like that, I mean, they can bring players from anywhere. I know that now at the minute in Ireland, players can't leave until they're 18. But the biggest clubs in Europe are bringing the best young players from all over the world. You know, whereas the likes of Finn Harps, you know, we're going to be developing players locally, and while it's going to be brilliant for the players, like you know, we've seen it over the years as well, Mark. There's very few. I mean, the percentage of players that come through academies and go on to have long-term careers in football, you know, is very small. But a full-time academy will certainly give players every opportunity to develop the potential that they have. And worst case scenario, it's going to develop players for the Donegal League and, you know, strengthen the local leagues as well. So, I mean, everybody's a winner if he can put this project in place.
And just finally on that subject, Freddie has been saying he's going to spend most of the year in Donegal, and he sees himself being involved with Finn Harps for the rest of his life. That is if he gets in, and he seems to be all in. From his chat with Chris there, is this something that you do expect to get voted through when the club members are asked to vote on Sunday, Anthony?
Well, I think that's going to be a big advantage for him. The fact that he's going to be based here, and he wants to be hands on. He's not going to be one of these owners that operates from a foreign country and is leaving the running of the club in the hands of others. And you know, to have amassed the wealth that he has, he's obviously a very clever and intelligent man. So it's important. I think it'll be a big selling point that he's going to be here. He's going to be hands on. He says he's going to be here for the long haul. And you know, he's all about getting family involved in the club as well. So if he can build that relationship with the people at the football club, with the supporters, I think it's a very positive sell.
So let's move on to the here and now. Harps play Wexford at Finn Park tomorrow night. Do you think this takeover talk will have any effect on the current team and their preparations for the game?
Well, if you were a local player, certainly for the local boys, I think it'll be a positive. It'll certainly be a positive for them, because they'll be hoping to be part of this new exciting project. You know, so that'll be the main advantage for the players that's there at the minute. But you know, I think once you know, from a playing point of view, takeovers and that, you know, they go to the back of your mind. They're so far removed from the football pitch. But certainly, as I said, like the younger players, like Gavin McAteer and that, and the local boys, you know, it's an exciting challenge for them to be part of the club and where they hope to be in the next few years.
Yeah, well, the form hasn't been great on the pitch recently, winless in six games, but they definitely showed a good character to come back last week and get a point against Athlone. What kind of a game are you expecting tomorrow night? And do you think Harps can get something out of Wexford at Finn Park?
Well, I think at home, Finn Harps, it's their best chance of getting points. You know, on what has been a very disappointing season, to be honest. We spoke many times now, Mark, and I think what Finn Harps have been, they've always, while they may not have been winning games, they've been drawing games or maybe losing by the odd goal, but you know, going back the last couple of months, they've lost a few games very heavy. You know, they've lost to Cork 4-0, they lost to UCD 5-0, you know, so they've got to get back to being solid and being hard to beat, and if they can get back to that sort of form where they are discipled and defensively sound, you know, they've a good chance against Wexford, because while Wexford are in the top half of the league at the minute, you know, they've only won seven games themselves. You know, I know Finn Harps have only won four games this season, but you know, it's a game where they've got to start their home form. They've got to start picking up points to creep away from 3D at the bottom of the league.
Yeah, we'll have live updates here on Highland from that game with Jimmy Doherty from the 7:45 kickoff tomorrow evening. Elsewhere in the First Division, league leaders Cork City make the short trip to play Cove in the Cork Derby. Bray Wanderers host Athlone and Kerry go to Treaty. Now, moving on to Premier Division matters, Derry City are back at the Brandywell. And Anthony, they got off to a good start last week, beating Drogheda 2-0. That was a very important result on their first night back home.
Yeah, it's a huge result for them with their first night back at the Brandywell, and you know, their last game at Celtic Park as well, they had a fantastic victory against Bowes, and you thought that was going to kickstart them, but then they go to Galway and they get beat, and but then they back that up with a very well and hard earned fought point down at Shamrock Rovers. So again, going back to what we've spoke about probably over the last couple of seasons, Mark, the most consistent thing about Derry City is their inconsistency. And but it was so important that the first night back at the Brandywell, with all the unrest that is around the football club at the minute, that they get off to a good start and give the fans something to cheer about, because they've been very disappointed with the way the season has gone, and it started to show in the numbers going through the gates. So it's important that they try and bring the supporters back to the Brandywell.
Yes, and tomorrow night, Bottomside Waterford are the visitors. It sounds like a fairly straightforward fixture and one that Derry City should win at home, but Waterford have been somewhat resurgent recently. They've picked up a couple of wins in their last four games under a new manager. But with that being said, do you still expect Derry to pick up another win?
You would expect it, but there's no guarantees when Derry City's involved. You know, you would expect them to beat Waterford, and they beat them this year at the Brandywell already, 4-2. But that was a game, I think they were 2-0 down that game, Mark, and they came back with late goals. While on paper you'd think it should be a straightforward 3 points, Waterford have improved. They're getting closer to Sligo. They're only 3 points behind Sligo now, so there's an incentive for them to catch Sligo and get off the bottom of the table.
And next week is a big week for the club as well. They're away to CSK Sofia in the Europa League qualifying, so it's important that they do take a bit of positive momentum into those couple of games, because they'll be tough games against CSK.
Absolutely. It's one of them. With Derry, it's very hard to call and what way they're going to play, because what they do, again, on paper, they have a lot of quality in their ranks. It's just about setting up and delivering on the pitch. And again, the Derry City players, they do have experience of playing in Europe, so they will know what they expect going out to Bulgaria. But it's a big, big ask to go there and try and get a result, Mark. But they will be hoping to go into the game on the back of a positive performance and result against Waterford.
Yeah, and elsewhere in the top flight tomorrow, top of the table, Shamrock Rovers are away to Sligo. St Patso's Galway, Shelburne are at home to Dundalk, and Bohemians are away to Drogheda United. Anthony Gorman, thank you very much for joining us. As always, appreciate your thoughts on that potential takeover at Finn Harps, and enjoy the football this weekend. We'll be chatting soon, all right?
Thanks a million, Mark. Talk soon. Cheers.
There you go. That is former Harps boss Anthony Gorman on all things Freddy Gonzalez and the potential takeover at Finn Harps, and also his thoughts on this weekend's League of Ireland games. We'll take another quick break on the programme. We'll be turning the focus to boxing and American football after these. Welcome back to the final part of the programme. Now to switch focus to the boxing this weekend. Fight Night at the Valley 2 will take place at the Finn Valley Centre in Stranorder this coming Saturday night. The headliner will be Danny Duffy from Rafoe Boxing Club. The Strabane native made his professional debut last October in Letterkenny when he defeated Ricky Starkey. And this Saturday night's six-round main events will be against Mexico's Lakshmi Zaragoza Conteres. Here is Duffy speaking with Highland Radio's Kieran Cannon at a press event this week.
Danny, how are you feeling ahead of the big fight night now, coming up on Saturday night?
Well, it's good. Training's went well, so just looking forward to the fight night now and get in and do the business.
This is your first ever headliner, would it be correct in saying?
Yeah, first ever headliner, first six-round fight. So I'm glad I got to do it back close to home.
Talk to me about mentality. Does mentality change now, as in the fact that this is your first headliner gig? Would it be correct in saying a bit of added pressure? Maybe you'd thrive in that.
Yes and no. Like, I kind of just see it as another fight. It's just another opponent that I'll have to go in and try and beat and go in. It's just another ring. Just get in and do the business.
How difficult has preparation been ahead of this one? Is it difficult getting fights and training, or is it just ahead of case of putting your head down and training hard?
Yeah, it's just put the head down, train hard twice a day, 6 days a week. And yeah, I work full time on top of that as well. So it's definitely difficult, and it's definitely got its challenges, but I love it, so... So I keep showing up.
Delighted you turned professional?
Yeah, best decision I made.
There's a man, proud of a full man looking down on us here this evening. How much of an influence has he in your career, the one and only Peter O'Donnell?
Yeah, massive. You know, Peter was always around the club. You can feel his presence kind of not there anymore, but Peter was always a massive presence in the club, and I'm sure everybody feels it as well.
A native of Strabane, I'm sure you'll be hoping for a big local support in Finn Valley on Saturday night.
Hi, they'll all be going mental, so they will whenever I get in the ring, and hopefully get in a good fight.
In terms of a young boy growing up, was it always going to be boxing? And did you have an idol growing up, maybe just Jason Quigley?
I was kind of in the football to start, but then I never really stuck at it. I was always coming and going from it. And then my mum kind of said to me, like, you should probably stick to the boxing anchor, because my brother was always a lot better at the football. That man, I was always just doing it because he was doing it, but then she kind of said to me, you should just stick to the boxing.
Excited for Saturday night, and what's your message? Maybe the supporters listening to this, maybe they may get standing tickets. What's your message to them people that they may come along and support you?
Oh, big thanks to everybody that has bought a ticket, and big shout out to my sponsors as well for helping me out through camp. And whenever I get in the ring for everybody that's still questioning about coming, like, I will be going to put on an entertaining fight.
Could there be a title fight coming up later in the year?
Hopefully, I'll get the first six rounder done and then I should be eligible for a title.
That's absolutely fantastic. Would that be a case of a dream come true? Like, that was always been the back of your mind, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'd love to do it close to home, hopefully, for another headline fight down the line.
That's Danny Duffy about to headline Fight Night at the Valley 2, taking place at the Finn Valley Centre this coming Saturday night in the Twin Towns. To American football, and the Northwest Vipers have their biggest game of the season as they host the West Dublin Rhinos in the Heart Bowl semi-final on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the City of Derry Rugby Club. It's the biggest game in years for the Vipers, who have traditionally drawn on their players from Donegal, Derry and Tyrone. The event has also been run as a family fun day with bouncy castles, food, refreshments and entertainment, making it a great day out for the local community while also supporting the Northwest only American football club as it bids for a place in the Harp Bowl final. Chris Ashmore has been speaking to the Northwest Vipers head coach Paul O'Donnell.
It is a massive game. It's probably the biggest game the Vipers have had in maybe 10 years. And if you look at our sort of performance over the last few years, we've sort of been very hit and miss. This year has been a dream season. We've gone from strength to strength. And I just see this as a massive step, hopefully, to get us to the final in the Heart Bowl itself in Athlone on the 18th of July. But it's massive.
Now, tell me just the structure of the league here. How does it work? How many games do you have to play to sort of get to where you are now?
Yeah. So the there are eight teams in the league in our division, the AFA Division 1. Playing for the Heart Bowl. So we would play eight games. We started off in Derry itself, and unfortunately we didn't get off to the best start. I think we were just trying to gel and trying to sort of iron out a few wee tweaks or a few wee sort of issues. So now I'm not taking away from the team that we were playing, the South Dublin Panthers, a very good team, had come down last year from the Shamrock Bowl conference. So we start off with a loss, and in my head, if I'm perfectly honest, I was thinking, here we go again. And fair play to the lads, they absolutely turned around and we won the next seven in a row. So we finished the season joint first with the South Dublin Panthers on 7-1. But because they beat us, they were the first seed and we're the second seed. But that still means home field advantage in the playoffs. So we definitely want to get as many people out in the Derry Donegal area to sort of roar the lads on, cheer the lads on, and just show the whole league what how we are and who we are up here in the north, in the quiet northwest, and really just make a mark.
And there's more from Paul and indeed the Northwest Vipers now over on our website. Let's have a look at what's happening in Gaelic games this weekend. And it's an important weekend for the Donegal senior ladies team. James Daly's side will be looking to secure their senior status for next year as they face Waterford in a relegation qualifier. That game takes place in Roscommon on Saturday from 2 o'clock. And we'll have updates from that game with Willie Hegarty here on Highland. The Tyrone ladies play Tipperary in the other relegation qualifier. And that game is at 3:30. In Mullingar. The Tyrone Minor footballers will look to retain their All-Ireland Minor football title on Sunday. They play Cork in the final on Sunday afternoon in Newbridge. Throw-in is at 2 o'clock and we'll be going over to Francis Mooney for live updates in that game. Here at home, the Donegal Hurling Championship continues tomorrow night. Group A sees old foes Satanta face Burt. St Eunan's play Karen Donagh and Sean McCool's go to Buncrana. In Group B, it's Letterkenny Gaels against Dunloe and Eora Ballyshannon are away to Burt B. In the football all-county leagues, there is one Division 1 fixture tonight as Neave Connell play Gidore, and there's one game on Saturday as well. Gidore back out as they welcome Kilcare to Maharagallan. Finally for tonight, there is local interest at Rally Roma Capital in the European Rally Championship this coming weekend. Donegal driver Ken McBride is taking part in that rally in a Peugeot 208 Rally 4, while down native William Creighton will also take the roads in Italy over the weekend. The action gets underway with Special Stage 1 tomorrow evening. That's just about it from me tonight. My name's Mark Gallagher, and thank you very much as always for listening in. The show will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com, just in case you missed anything. Your next sports update is tomorrow morning during the 8 o'clock news. Enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.